football on Off the Ball.
He deserves enormous credit for recognising that after 8 and a bit years at Liverpool, he was running out of energy, and rather than waiting for things to go bad, he got out.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Now then, Galway United preserved their Premier Division status for another year on Saturday after their 1-1 draw with Waterford on the final day of the season. Their manager is John Caulfield, and I'm delighted to say he's with us on the line. John, how are you doing?
A good one. How are you getting on?
Very well, can't complain. So, Saturday evening, is it mostly relief after the 1-1 draw that you've managed to get out without having to face a playoff to keep your status?
Yeah, I suppose a combination of jubilation and relief, and probably, you know, it became a really difficult season for us from the midpoint, June onwards, and, you know, obviously well documented with Ollie and things happened within the club. So from that point of view, we lost our form, and we were a shadow of the team that had been there for the first third of the season when we were competing in the top four. And, you know, it looked like we were going to be in serious bother. But thankfully, over the last probably 5-6 weeks, we pulled out some very good results. And, you know, for us, it was important getting out of Waterford, not losing and staying up. A lot of work has gone on over the last four or five years to bring Galway into the Premier Division, get them promoted. And they've spent a long, long time in the First Division. And, you know, so we came up last year. Sometimes the second year up can be difficult, but with everything that we've done, it was just important to maintain our status.
Is there an appreciation amongst the fan base, amongst people that follow the club, that it has been a very, very difficult season, that actually just preserving your place in the Premier Division is a good outcome, all things considered?
I think so. Well, I think, you know, the Galway United fan base has grown dramatically over the last number of years. At one point, I think, when I came in just at the end of COVID, you know, the crowd was about 400 people. You know, we were averaging 3,000, obviously, for the big games against Shamrock Rovers. We were at 4,500. And there's, you know, great coverage from local media here as well. And I think everyone, you know, understood it was a very, very difficult time for the club. But certainly, from living up in Galway over the last number of years and meeting people, you know, every day, there's tremendous support. And certainly, I think, you know, the overwhelming majority of supporters understood how difficult the season was. And look, when you lose a man who's part of the club for the last 3 years and he's day in, day out with all the players, of course it's going to take its toll. And it did. And I think that our supporters appreciated that.
It's unquestionably something that takes its toll on every individual as well, just given the character that Ollie was. How do you respond to that on a personal level, John, and to keep going and to, I don't know how you manage to frame football in your own mind when something like that does happen and so quickly, but how do you manage to keep yourself going?
Yeah, I suppose you have to have self-motivation. It's difficult, I suppose, ultimately, on your top of the tree. You know, you have to show the leadership and the guidance and, you know, it's obviously a really sensitive time. Because I was meeting Ollie every day in hospital. The players hadn't seen him, you know, for 6 or 7 weeks. And obviously I was communicating back to the lads through Ollie. And yeah, it is difficult. And, you know, there's nothing, you know, when you see a young man, you know, with a very young family and, you know, he's dying, you know, it's so sad and tragic. You know, but I suppose the strength would have been, I suppose, from Ollie, making sure that I kept the thing going, you know, kept informing the lads, trying to keep them motivated, trying to get results, which at the time we weren't getting. But I think, of course it's difficult. You know, certainly I've said it was the difficult, most difficult period in my football career. But look at, I suppose, the strength of, you know, seeing the position Ollie was in and trying to make sure that, you know, that you get the lads to rally around and because he certainly would have wanted, you know, the best for the club and ultimately in the end, I suppose it was fitting that we did survive.
because at the end of the day, you're the manager and you're, I guess, in this role where you have to be a leader of young men, essentially. So you have to have a sense of stoicism about you, despite the fact that you're the person in the club who knew Ollie the most.
Yeah, I know. But I suppose, you know, when you have to put this in, you know, you're I suppose we deal with people all my life through my business work for many years, and obviously then through football. We're an emotional business, and but I suppose I would have discussed, you know, nearly daily with Ollie in the hospital, and I suppose maybe he kept me going as well, Owen, you know. So, you know, we both knew the outcome wasn't going to be good, but at the same time, it was always football talk and positive talk we spoke when we were in there, and he'd want to be talking about being sick. He wanted to talk about what was happening, what could we do, and so, you know, in lots of ways he kept me going as well.
Was it tactics talk in the hospital? Was he giving his two cents on how you should line up, how you should take on that weekend's opposition?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I was blaming him for getting a few of the teams wrong. But yeah, it was. Yeah, to be fair, look, at anyone that would have known him, you know, there was no self-pity. It was get on. The conversations are always about training, who we're playing, what are we going to do, you know, who's going to be, who are you going to pick. So it was always football talk, really. Ollie was a master at deflecting from talking about himself. So yeah, that was the way it was.
When did you first get to know each other, John?
About 25 years ago. Okay. I came across him a few times, and then in amateur football, really. He was manager of Fannett for many years. I was doing non-league in Cork with Avondale, and we played each other a number of times, and it sort of grew from there, really, Owen, and we were always in contact. And then he became FNAF's manager, and I became Cork manager. He was a year before me, I think, and obviously then, you know, we were constantly in contact, and we did the pro licence. We were on the same course, and I suppose that was over 2.5 years. And I suppose that was the real time when, you know, we became very, I suppose, not close, we were very friendly to each other and in contact, and I suppose it came from that, really. And and then obviously, you know, when I asked him to come in and give me a hand in Galway 3 years ago, you know, then we were living in each other's pockets really every day after that, you know.
Because I had wondered, was there necessarily a bit of an adversarial relationship there at the start when it was Finn Harp's manager versus Cork City manager, but it was really friendship from the very beginning, was it?
It was, oh yeah, always. We always, you know, we always got on well, I suppose. You know, he was doing an amazing job to keep Finn Harps up. I was lucky enough at the other end of the table trying to compete to win trophies, stay in Europe. And we always got on well. It wasn't, don't get me wrong, was there a few words said when we played each other at times? Of course there was. But overall, we were always obviously very respectful and of course friendly, because we had come back a long time, you know.
Yeah. Did he ever...
We appreciated, we both come from non-league, we knew how difficult the League of Ireland was, even though Ollie hadn't played in the League of Ireland, of course I had, but I think, you know, we understood how difficult amateur football was, because we were two clubs that were at the top of amateur football in the country, and then we're now in the League of Ireland at the highest level. So you know we both had probably strong work ethics, and you know, that's certainly the way, you know, we probably respected each other because of that, you know.
And there's also, it's something I've been thinking about the last little while, because we did a show last week with the double winning team from the Athlone women's side of the club, and just this topic of football outside the capital. It does feel that a figure like Ollie, or even a figure like yourself, whether it's in Cork or whether it's in Galway, and Ollie obviously up in Donegal, these figures almost become more totemic because the places are smaller and the League of Ireland clubs are more community based. It feels anyway.
Absolutely. You know, I say that all the time, Owen. It's whether it's in Galway, whether it's in Cork, you know, you walk around the city, people know you. You know, it's certainly, I do feel that the achievement, if you can, you know, win a trophy outside of Dublin, I think it means so much to that community. And because I think they're invested in, you know, they're invested in all sports, but certainly in the football club. And certainly that's my experience, and certainly in Cork, it was, you know, you couldn't go anywhere without people talking to you and whatever. And since I came to Galway, it might have been a bit slower at the start, but certainly over the last 3 years, it's been phenomenal. And wouldn't be as big as Cork, and population wouldn't be as big, but still, they, you know, the people are so good, and they're so passionate for the club. So I certainly, you know, it doesn't mean more to a country club. I think it's, the players are more recognisable, they're more approachable because they're living in the area where the people from the streets are walking up to the ground supporting, you know.
Because I was going to ask if you're finding it difficult to keep pace with some of the clubs that have a bit more cash behind them in the Premier Division at the moment. But like, you talk about the boom in attendance figures over the past couple of years. Like, sure, there might be a gap there, but do you think you're managing to at least grow at the same rate as some of the Dublin City clubs in particular?
To be honest with you, Owen, look at the money that's come into the league in the last 3 years. You know, I've never seen it. I know in the Celtic Tiger years when I was following Cork, 2004, 2005, 2006, you know, there was a huge worry at that time because the wages went out of control and everyone was wondering where was this going to end. And it ended rightly where Cork went bust, Derry went bust, Shelburne went bust. And, you know, at that time, you know, and clubs were living way beyond their means. It is different now because clubs are running it more business-wise. Certainly there's a lot of big backers gone in involved in clubs. And the gap has become enormous in terms of wages. And that's good for the players. You know, they're earning much bigger contracts. And that's good for them. But at the same time, it is difficult. I think it's more difficult for the rural clubs because, you know, the bulk of the players are in the greater Dublin area. And I suppose the real emphasis is going to be on clubs like Galway United. They start bringing young players from their academies through. And that will be the challenge, just try and get players through the academy quickly because the step up is massive. And I suppose with the government investment, they're a number of weeks ago, it'll help that clubs will have full-time people in the academy, and obviously training will increase, training hours will increase, and that's what's needed. But certainly, you know, you have to work, think outside the box, Owen. You have to try and get players outside of the country, players that the bigger clubs won't have their eyes on, because at the same time, you can see in the league that, you know, if the bigger clubs come in for your players, they can offer them, you know, finances that you can't compete with. And we've already seen that this year and at the end of the season here. So you have to re-go again and regenerate your team and see, can you keep pulling diamonds, you know, from places and turn them into good players. And, you know, with a very competitive team, you know, any team in this league can get into Europe, but it's certainly much more challenging because there is a big difference in the wage structure within a number of clubs.
Would it have been disastrous if he got relegated? Obviously, it would have been really, really bad, don't get me wrong, but like potentially like existential stuff. Like, I don't want to be too dramatic about it, but you see what's happening with Dundalk at the moment, who've come from such a high down to where they're at the moment, and issues continue to strike the club. Like, would there have been, I guess, massive changes to the club if you were to exist back in the First Division sphere?
Yeah, I think the lesson of Galway United is that they went through the club going into administration in the late 2008 or 9, and you know, ever since then, the people on the board and the club, of which there are still people from that era, you know, they want all the bills paid. They never want to overspend again, and you can understand why. So you know, if Galway United went down, look, there's no debts in the club, but at the same time, would the investment be the same as being in the Premier Division to the First Division? No, it wouldn't. You know, they all had accepted that the budget would drop dramatically. So, of course, that would have changed the whole outcome for the players, the management in the team, you know, in the club, because things changes would have to be made and different people would have to come in, and things would be realigned to a much smaller budget. So, yeah, we all knew that. Well, we knew that, you know, that's probably common sense, you know, in terms of the way clubs are being run now. You know, everyone wants to stay in football, but everyone has to pay the bills, and you know, you all have to pay your taxes, and everyone and all the clubs want to do it right, and rightly so, because it is a business, and you know, that's the way it has to be done.
Does it add a greater sense of pressure onto you when you're going into a game like that at the weekend as well, John, knowing that there are other people counting on this, and not just yourself, and not just your own gig as manager of Galway United?
Well, I think it's more for the supporters, really, the people who follow the club. They spend their money to come and watch us and to follow us. And I think it's you have to recognise, as a group of people, you're representing them, because, you know, players, management, teams, they'll all come and go. But it's the people who are week in, week out, looking after the club, following the club. And was there a sense of pressure? On this pressure all the time. Yeah. You know, I'm used to that. It was 30 years working on the road for different companies in sales marketing. You know, you're under pressure to get sales there. You're under pressure to get results. You know, the difference is that probably in football, you take a lot more stick, mainly behind your back rather than to your face. But at the same time, you know, you have to deal with that and live with that. And all you can do is do an honest day's work and get people with you to do that. But I think, was the pressure of, absolutely, of course there was. But for me, it was just so happy for the supporters, because they've been in the First Division for so long, and after getting up 2 years ago, you know, they want to see Shamrock Rovers coming to Terryland Park. They want to see Bohemian, Shelburne, you know what I mean? And no disrespect to other clubs, but that's what you want.
Yeah. How do you take the stick? Are you good at that? Are you good at dealing with it, even if it's happening behind your back?
Yeah, I suppose I'm used to it. You know, on like a look at it's you know, I'm not on social media, so that's good. I don't get involved in anything like that. I've never had a problem if any of our supporters at any stage come up to me and ask me, you know, give their opinion or want to give their opinion. Never had a problem with that. I enjoy it, actually, because sometimes they might say something or hear something that is completely false, and then it takes them in the situation. But at the same time, look at it, it's I do think for a lot of younger managers, younger coaches, it's difficult, because a lot of them are on social media, and you're never going to win on social media.
No, it feels like you're stepping on a pile of shit, really, when you go onto social media as a football manager. Like, it's bad enough for any normal person out there, but for somebody managing in professional football in Ireland, it feels like a fairly unwise thing to be doing.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And really, to be fair, I'm at the older end of the scale where I can ignore it. It doesn't bother me because I'm not on it. I don't need to be on it. But it is difficult for players, you know, that are growing up with social media since the day they were born, and they're used to you on it. And the criticism, the stick they get, you know, it's unwarranted. But look, we see all those cases, you know, in all sports, and it's horrific. And look, at some stage, something will happen where, you know, social media will be shut down, or it'll be reduced at some point. But it's you know, but if you're any public figure at the moment, you're going to take a lot of abuse and stick, and, you know, so you need to stay off it. But it is difficult for particularly younger players in that.
Do you still feel the appetite, John, at this point? I don't know what your situation is with Galway, but do you go again next year? Do you go to the same level of hunger and drive again next year?
Yeah, you live for the game on. You live for the results. You know, you lose and you're devastated, and, you know, it ruins your mood, your few days. You just have going for the following week, and then you come off after last Saturday night's result, and you're on a high because, you know, it's meant so much to so many people. So you have to have inner drive, inner motivation. You know, there's certain guys who can stick management and live with management, and there are lots of people that tried it and can't. And you know, it takes its toll. It drains yourself, it drains your family. So you have to be extremely strong and motivated to keep yourself going. And thankfully, you know, I suppose I've been professional manager since 2014. Not that long, but, you know, I had a very, very good time in Cork. Some difficult times, and generally in Galway, you know, I've had good times. But certainly, you know, you'd love to achieve more, and you'd certainly love to bring some success to the people here. But you know, ultimately, yourself, you have to have inner motivation yourself, because if you can't drive yourself, well, you're wasting your time in this game.
What are you going to do for the off season?
There's no such thing as the off season. yeah, so look, it's about, you know, re-signing. Look, it's a very difficult time on, because, you know, you're at the end of a season after finishing last Saturday night, being out with the lads on Sunday, thanking them, you know, and you're meeting them all over this week. You know, some of them are being let go, some of them are leaving. You know, you're trying to re-sign some of them, so it's a really difficult time. You know, that, you know, guys, you think, if, you know, anyone in a job, you'll be told the next day you're not going to get on, or that's really hard to take. So some lads are moving on to the clubs, and but for me, it's about, you know, we have to rebuild for next year, recruit new players, and a lot of time and energy will go into that. And you know, I get at the end of the month, I get a a few days away. But at the same time, you're always working, you're always, you know, trying to sign players and get things done, and that's just the way it is. And you know, we haven't the luxury of having recruitment officers and stuff like that here. You have to do it yourself. And I suppose that's another area where Ollie was is an enormous loss to me, because he was very good at that as well. And we spread the load. So it's all go, and we're all back in training on in 4 or 5 weeks' time.
I did mean to ask you about Ollie as well. Did he ever play the piano for you?
Never played it for me personally, but I was in occasions when he did play it.
Right? How good was he?
He was a fantastic musician. You know, he's underestimated. Like he wasn't just a piano; he could play other instruments. So he was just gifted. You know, it was the first time I heard him, and I knew him 15 years at the time. I never even knew he could play the piano, and he was like, you know, how could a guy that never plays the piano just sit down and rattle off, you know, 10 or 11 songs? But that's what he did.
Just one of these sickeningly talented people.
Yeah, and all his family are as well.
Right.
His kids, the mass and the funeral mass, they were playing the instruments. Absolutely talented. Brilliant, yeah.
Yeah. I presume, John, you need time to kind of decompress on that level as well, because, like, geez, it happens in August and it's like game straight after that. And like you say, you're getting away for a couple of days at the end of the month. Like, I'm not sure, has it fully sunk in, the real life story of this season, or does it still take a bit more time, I wonder?
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose sometimes you're in a job here where you don't get much time to you have to reflect and look at yourself, but you don't get time to sort of say, well, I'll go away for a month and I'll sit back and think about what went on. You're nearly at it straight away. It's just the weekend, back in yesterday, today, meeting players, meeting the board later on. You know, it's just constant goal, because it's just madness of our industry. But look at the managers that do it, love it, and it's hard when people look in and they say, how do you cope with this? How do you cope with that? How do you cope with the pressure? But you know, we love the kick. We love the kick of winning, and when we lose, we're devastated. When we win, we're happy, and that's the way it is all.
Yeah, well, hopefully there are plenty more victories coming for you next season, John. Always good to chat to you. John Caulfield, manager of Galway United. Thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, John. Thank you.